Welcome to Let's Talk EI with Dr. Hank Clemens. This is an open forum to discuss all things emotional intelligence. So call and share your thoughts and ideas at 888-463-6748. That's 888-GO-FOR-IT. Now, here's your host, Dr. Hank.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, hello, how are you? All of those wonderful things. Welcome to Let's Talk EI. Let's Talk EI is a monthly show dedicated to discussing emotional intelligence and related topics. And when I say and related topics, well, I think we can say just about everything is related to emotional intelligence. As a matter of fact, as we go along with the show today, I'm going to challenge any of the listeners out there that might be able to come up with, or see if you can come up with a topic or an area that does not, or you feel does not apply, and that emotional intelligence can't apply to it. That's the number one challenge out there. But anyway, I'm Dr. Hank, President and CEO of the Society of Emotional Intelligence, which is the sponsor of the show. Now, the format is a little different, and we've kind of changed it up to get some more interactions. And so today I have a co-host, and the co-host today is Dr. Gwen Wiggins. She's the chair of the Atlanta chapter. Gwen, why don't you say hello to the folks out there?
Hello, everyone. I'm so happy to be on the show. This is such an exciting topic, and I can't wait to get started.
Wow, it is exciting. It's certainly exciting to me. Sometimes I can't sleep. I'm so excited about this. And usually the Sunday night before, I have a tough time going to sleep. Gwen will be back shortly to give you some more information about what's going on with her chapter and all. I just want to give you a little bit more information, particularly if you're a first-time listener to Let's Talk EI. We use Let's Talk EI as a medium to share information or to educate folks or even to introduce the concept of emotional intelligence to our members and to our listeners. Now, some of the other mediums that we use to kind of communicate this information is our website. And the website for us is www.societyofei.org. We also have professional development meetings. We have training seminars and workshops. As a matter of fact, we have a training seminar coming up this Wednesday and Thursday if you're in the Tampa area. It's a train-the-trainer in emotional intelligence. And on May 16 and 17 in Los Angeles, we have a two-day EQI 2.0 certification. Now, if you want to get more information on that, just go to the website. You'll see it's there. The website, again, is www.societyofei.org. We also have professional chapters. And last time, last month when we were talking, we had 8 chapters. This month, I'm happy to say we're up to 10 chapters. Let me tell you just some of the chapters. We have Delaware, which we call the tri-state. We have Houston, Los Angeles, New York. Orlando just came aboard. We have Phoenix, Tallahassee, which just came aboard, Tampa, and Atlanta. Now, Atlanta is, and I mentioned it a few minutes ago, is chaired by Dr. Gwen Wiggins. And Gwen, tell us a little bit about your chapter and what are some of the things that might be going on there.
Well, the Atlanta chapter is we're relatively new. We're just kind of we're just starting to form a little bit, but we have an exciting lineup for the rest of the year. We're going to have 4 meetings that are coming up. One is we have Dr. Kim Harris is going to be speaking with a group, and her topic is going to be the glass ceiling around African-American women and the emotional intelligence impact on that topic. And then we're going to have Dr. Brent Darnell, who's going to be speaking about emotional wellness. going to also try to get his wife also partners with him in emotional intelligence training. He does the soft end piece, and she actually does a physical piece and talks about how emotional intelligence or emotional wellness impacts you physically. So we're very excited about them coming on board to really be like a dynamic duo for us. And then we have David Ryback, who's going to be coming to talk with us. He's a psychologist in the field. He's also done some training and instruction in the field as well. And we're looking forward to him. And we've already had Dr. Leo Smith, who talked with us about emotional intelligence from a leader's perspective in, within the business community. And his topic was what every leader needs to know. And very well received. And we had a mixed group for our first session in terms of who actually showed up. And we had everybody from people who were in the legal field to those who were in the medical field. So really excited about, you know, just people being excited about the topic and what they're sharing in their own industry. So
they're excited about the next chapter. That's fantastic. I'm, I keep saying I'm excited, but I honestly am excited. You know, just to hear some of the things that you're already starting to lay out. And I know that, you know, certainly if I had the opportunity to be at all of them, I'd certainly be at all of them. If folks wanted to know more about the Atlanta chapter, there's a website. Gwen has a website. It's soeiatlanta.com, I think it is. And so you can just go to that website. And while all of the information that she just mentioned probably isn't on the site right now, it'll soon be there. So for those of you that are in the Atlanta area, you know, you might want to begin making plans to attend one or more of those. But also, speaking of that, you know, SOEI is a membership-based organization. Now, it doesn't mean that if you're not a member, you can't attend some of these seminars or workshops, because you can. What it means, though, is that we would like to have you as a member. And to be a member, all you have to do is go to the website and submit your membership application. And we'd like to say, at this point, no member has been turned away. That is, no member that have paid their dues. Now, if you don't pay the dues, obviously, you know, you can't officially be a member. But membership dues are pretty reasonable. The professional membership for someone who is considered a professional, let's say that you're a trainer or a consultant or an individual that is working full-time, we say you're a professional. And the first time, or the first year, it's only $50. Now, that comes out to about 13 cents a day, which isn't very much. $50 for the first year. And when you renew the second year, it's even lower. It's down to $35 for renewals, which is about 9 cents a day. And I think most of us probably can afford 9 cents a day. There's a corporate membership. The corporate membership is $200, and that will allow three people from an organization to be a member of the society, plus one of those members get to attend the conference at no cost. And then there's a student membership, and student membership is $15 annually, and believe me, that's less than 5 cents a day. So membership fees are really, really reasonable. We encourage you, if you're not a member, to become a member. All you need to do is to go to the website and submit your membership application. Obviously, where we have chapters, you know, that's great. But then we have what we call members at large. That means that there are some locations where there isn't a chapter yet, but they're either probably looking to start a chapter, or a chapter is in the beginning phase. For instance, last month we talked about the Gulf Coast chapter, which is being led by Joe Fierro. And they're just getting started there. So he's looking for help and support. So please go to our website again, and you'll see Joe Fierro's contact information. So if you're in the Gulf Coast area, that's like Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana, you want to get involved in becoming a member of the Society of Emotional Intelligence in the Gulf Coast area. Joe Fierro is the person to see and talk about. And Gwen, you don't know this, but as of a couple of days ago, we had an inquiry from Washington, the state of Washington. So next month, we might have a new chapter in the state of Washington. So
very exciting.
Yes,
very exciting.
It's growing. One of the other things.
A better place to have a chapter besides the Washington area right now.
Well, you know, really, the West Coast is not really represented by SOEI at this point. We only have the Los Angeles area, so it would be great to have someone in the upper Northeast, if you will, to be there. So we're going to see how that goes. We also have an annual conference that we do each year. The conference happens in October. This year it's scheduled for October 18. So all of you out there, you know, get your calendars, your iPads, whatever you use to keep track of dates and times, and mark your calendar for October 18th and be in Tampa, Florida on that day, because we have an outstanding conference. We haven't got all the speakers selected yet, but let me tell you, from the proposals that have been coming in, it looks really, really exciting. Pretty dynamite. We have a couple of... go ahead. You were going to say?
I was just going to say, excuse me, Hank. I have to concur. The conference has been excellent over the past couple of years. I've been to two of them, and just outstanding presenters. You're just so inspired once you get there. Everyone that you're talking to is so excited about the topic. They bring just a new perspective, new information from whatever field they're working in. So I get charged every time I go to the conference. So it's a very exciting conference, and I would encourage anyone who wants to know more about emotional intelligence, that is the best place for you to be, to do some networking, just to become more informed and aware of how you can use this this skill set to really enhance your life. So I would encourage anybody to go to the conference. And Tampa's a great place to be, you know, for our conference. So.
Fantastic.
Weather's always good in October.
Yes, the weather's good. Hurricane season is over at that point, or at least it's just about over. So I don't think you have to worry about hurricanes. And the weather is still nice, and the beaches are wonderful for those that, you know, just like to come down and maybe get a little sun before winter comes in. So, yes, mark your calendars for the conference. A couple of other things. We have that's coming up. Is like I said, the different chapters will have different events. So look for their website. You can find a lot of that information on our website, of course, and that's how you get to the different chapters. Keep in mind that Let's Talk EI is an open forum. We want to hear from you out there. So please give us a call. The number is 1-888-463-6748. You can speak to me or our guest that will be coming on shortly, my co-host, or you can just share your own ideas or whatever is on your mind that you'd like to talk about. Typically, our guests, special guests that we have on, come from a variety of areas. It could be academia, industry, government, anywhere EI is being applied. So we don't want to be exclusive. We want to be inclusive. We will be looking to hear from you right after the break. So stay with us. We'll be right back right after this.
Back to Let's Talk EI on TalkZone.com. Here's your host, Dr. Hank.
And welcome back. Thank you for being with us over the lunch hour. I know some of you are probably brown bag lunching while you're listening to Let's Talk EI. Others of you are probably on the West Coast. You're just getting up and having your morning cup of Joe or morning cup of coffee. But thanks for being with us. I really appreciate that. Gwen, as my co-host this morning, thank you. I know you could be doing a whole bunch of other things. As a matter of fact, you have your own consulting practice and things like that that you're doing, but you decided that you want to spend time with us this morning. So thanks for doing that. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I'm just happy to be here. And before we go forward, Hank, I did want to, for those that are in the Atlanta area, I did want to give the email out for anyone who'd like to contact me about getting involved with the Atlanta chapter. So the Atlanta email address is atlanta.soei@gmail.com. And I check all of those emails on. Excited about those who've already joined the Atlanta chapter and those who'd like to join. And you don't need any special criteria to be on board. So please, by all means, email me, and I look forward to talking with you.
Fantastic. Thanks for that. You know, one of the things that we were going to do today, Gwen, was just kind of kick around and discuss some things about emotional intelligence and the legal of the law enforcement community. And well, you won't believe it, but we have a judge that's on the line, and so I thought,
wow.
what better way to get in to launch into a discussion around emotional intelligence than to have someone from the bench kind of give us a thought or a comment or two on how he sees emotional intelligence. Good morning, Judge. How are you doing this morning?
I am wonderful. How are you?
Fantastic. Fantastic. Thanks for being with us. Now, this is Judge Dawson from the city of Cleveland. Judge, tell us a little bit about what you're doing there and why you thought you'd give us a call this morning.
Okay. Just to clarify, you know, up here in Ohio, we have, you know, several municipal courts. My specific court is East Cleveland. And the distinction and why that's important is because the city of Cleveland is a much larger city and they have several judges. And it takes a lot of red tape and things like that to get things done. Whereas here in East Cleveland, I'm the only judge of the entire city. So I'm able to put things into motion a lot faster. And one of those things was the development of programs dealing with emotional intelligence, because I see that there is definitely a connection between criminal behavior and the lack of emotional intelligence.
Wow, that sounds pretty exciting. So when I heard you say a connection between lack of emotional intelligence and criminal behavior, now, some of the things that I've heard or seen is that some of the smartest folks, some of the smartest criminals out there, you know, are pretty high. Well, I don't know if they really are or not, but it seems to be that a criminal, you have two kinds of criminal. You have those that aren't too bright, as we say, and those are the ones that get caught all the time. And then you have the ones that are pretty sharp, and those are the ones it takes a lot to catch up with them. So.
Right.
Having said that, would you expect to find emotional intelligence in or among criminals?
You know, what's interesting is that, you know, and I appreciate that comment because you're right. I especially would say those who are the ones who are harder to catch or, let's say, who have devoted their entire life to developing the ability to be a criminal, I think they lack still in emotional intelligence, at least on the social management end of it, because their perspective is generally overall negative. But you're right, as far as being self-aware and knowing how to manipulate certain situations for criminal purposes, they're pretty high as far as their intelligence on that end. But I think when it comes to, you know, the overall positive social management and having self-management, I think that's where they lack. But you're right, though. Criminals, a lot of them, the more successful ones, I guess, so to speak, they do have at least some of the skills that we now look at as far as emotional intelligence.
Yeah, one of the key areas, and I was listening to what you were saying there, is called social responsibility as it relates to emotional intelligence. And my thought is, it doesn't matter whether you're a successful or unsuccessful criminal, social responsibility is probably one of the lower areas. In other words, there's a lack of concern about social responsibility.
Absolutely. And, you know, what people who commit crimes, especially the ones I see all the time, what they fail to realize is that the overall, you know, lack of social concern and social responsibility, eventually it negatively impacts all of us. So, you know, they can think, you know, on the criminal aspect that they're living in a bottle and it's all about them and I want to commit this crime for my purpose. But overall, it's having a negative impact because that comes back on them, whether it's them going to jail and now their family is out here by themselves, or that they become victims of crime, you know, themselves. So that lack of the awareness of how it impacts the greater society, that's a problem that unfortunately they don't see until it comes down on them.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, my co-host, Dr. Wiggins here has spent time, you know, in that area. I mean, she does some things around family mediation and some things. So I wanted to see, Gwen, while we're kind of talking on this subject, what have you experienced in that area?
Well, most of the cases that I've been involved with, for the most part, have been juveniles. Mm-hmm. And the lack of emotional intelligence, not just from the juveniles because they're young, but from their parents is just a bit overwhelming, and it just makes you just always have these eye-opening experiences. You understand why the juvenile is in the trouble that they're in. So while I also think that we should have similar to what you're doing in Cleveland programs for the juveniles that are around emotional intelligence, something that's adapted for their level, but for the parents, for those who are contributing to why their children are, you know, in so much trouble, and I do see a lot of contributions coming from the parents, I think that's an area of opportunity for us to be able to, you know, get out, train, educate, and inform people. So I see it from both sides. You know, yes, we have this young person here that's caught up in the juvenile system, and, you know, a judge has said, hey, is there something we can do with this young person besides detain them or whatever? And in order for that child to really be helped, you really kind of have to have more of a comprehensive approach, I think, in terms of looking at the whole family and dealing with the emotional intelligence from a more comprehensive perspective. So that would be if I were king for a day.
Okay. Well, we have another caller, and I do want to get that caller so that they do get a chance to make a comment, because we did say that it's an open forum. So, Judge, if you can just hold your comment just for a minute, I want to get Candace on. Candace, are you with us?
Yes, I'm with you all. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Your thought?
I actually just wanted to chime in. I thought it was appropriate. I'm actually part of the Tampa SOEI chapter here. I'm the marketing and comms chair. And I'm from Cleveland, and I lived in Atlanta. So welcome to both of the speakers. I wanted to just kind of chime in and say we just had a professional development event here on the 25th of April, and our speaker actually had a background in law enforcement as well as counseling. And one thing that he talked a lot about was frame selection awareness. And I think that that's something that's really important in dealing with the youth and helping them learn to frame different incidents when they occur so they know how to take charge of those emotions. So, Gwen, you made some really positive comments, and I'm interested in hearing more from Judge Dawson to see what he's doing in East Cleveland with the juvenile and, I should say, criminal population there.
Okay.
East Cleveland.
Judge?
You know, and that's a good point. It's wonderful to see so many people who are in law enforcement actually looking at this end of it. And what I'm doing specifically, it's interesting because my court is an adult court. But just as Dr. Gwen stated, I see the need to address the lack of emotional intelligence and the development of it in our youth. So what I've done, I've actually set up a diversion program where my court, we hear juvenile cases on a diversionary basis, meaning that if they come to the program, if they complete the task that I assigned to them, if they don't get in any more trouble, then their case doesn't turn into a actual criminal case that has a number attached. So we're doing that to not only save them from getting that record, but also because we know that these skills are so important that we want to help develop them. So to your question as to how we're handling the youth, a couple of ways I do it, not only through the diversion program, but I actually, on my Fridays, I go to two area high schools. And I've been doing it now for about 6 or 7 years. And we have a group of students that we start with in the ninth grade, and we work with them all the way through graduation. And they add a few in every year anyway. But it's all about developing their ability to deal with the legal system without getting caught up. And what they don't realize before you throw in the term emotional intelligence is all in that. You know, the way you deal with police officers, the way you deal with the legal system so that you don't become a statistic is really about handling your emotions. And just as was stated, you know, self-awareness is very, very important, especially with our youth, because they need to know where they are, what has caused the particular event that is now troubling them. So that's a huge part of it. So we really go through the whole area of emotional intelligence and with the juveniles. And oftentimes we don't even tell them that's what we're doing. We don't throw out the big word, but that's how we're developing them so that they can get these skills of self-analysis and then be able to manage their emotions when they're actually interacting with the legal system.
Oh, fantastic. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think your comments around, you know, you're not really telling them that that's emotional intelligence, even for the adults sometimes when you're talking or trying to work with them, you know, the terminology may throw them. So just, you know, getting to the essence of what emotional intelligence is and just having, you know, a common language and framework for having a discussion is so important. And being able to adapt, whether you're talking to an adult or whether you're talking to a juvenile, if you can still, you know, get those core concepts through to them, that's what's really important at the end of the day. And I do think you sometimes have to camouflage the language, you know, for people to, you know, really grasp what you're talking about. And that's even in a corporate environment sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. I'm in full agreement with that. As a matter of fact, it reminds me of what we used to do in the area of workforce diversity. We would say that, you know, while workforce diversity is important, we can't really use that term because it often would turn people off. So what they did was come up with a term called inclusion, and the word inclusion was more palatable, or people were more willing to receive and discuss things around inclusion than they were around diversity. So sometimes when we're talking about emotional intelligence, we have to find a way to talk about it so that people don't get a brain freeze or don't fear the term or the concept or feel that they can't contribute because they don't know anything about emotional intelligence. Well, it looks like we're approaching our break here, and so I'm going to ask everyone if you can stay with us through the break. That would be great. We have a special guest with us today. It's Dr. Kenneth Ray from Hillsborough Community College here in Tampa. So if everyone can stay with us, that'd be great. If you have to drop off or you have to leave, that's fine. You know, but let me say this. If you do have to leave, thanks for the call, Candace. Judge Dawson, thanks for being with us this morning. And, well, we'll be right back after this break.
It's time for more of Let's Talk EI on TalkZone.com. Here's Dr. Hank.
Well, welcome back, and thank you again for being with us. We had a very good first half of the show, and I'm expecting the second half of the show to be as good, if not better. I want to thank our callers who called in earlier. Candace can call in and share some thoughts and ideas with us around emotional intelligence. We have our co-host, Dr. Gwen Wiggins, with us, and she's been a big help to me, but she's also brought out some really, really great points. And one of our callers that called in was Judge Dawson from the city of East Cleveland, and I think he's still on the line. So great, thanks for staying with us, Judge.
Yes.
But I wanted to get to our special guest. Not that you're not a special guest, Judge. You are a special guest. But we have Dr. Kenneth Ray. He's the Vice President for Student Services and Enrollment Management for Hillsborough Community College here in Tampa, Florida. He has over 25 years of higher education experience in the Florida college system. He's held a leadership position as Dean of Student Services, Dean of Educational Service, Interim Provost, as well as served as the Vice President for Student Services at two other community colleges. He holds a PhD in Higher Education Leadership from Florida Atlantic University and a Master's in Education from the University of Florida and a Bachelor of Science in Psychology. And just think about the psychology piece that really brings him into this whole EI discussion, and we're going to kind of pick his brain on that. But he got the bachelor's degree from the University of Pittsburgh. He's a member of the Society of Emotional Intelligence. Yay! Additionally, he's chair-elect for the National Council for Student Development and serves on the board of directors for Seminole Heights and the West University Charter School. Dr. Ray, thank you for being with us today. I know it's lunchtime, but on the other hand, I don't know if you ever get a chance to take a break. Those folks at Hillsborough Community College kind of keeps you going pretty good, don't they?
Oh, we make time for lunch, though.
Oh. That is, in other words, it sounds like what you're saying is you have to refuel in order to be able to keep up with the demands. Is that what I'm hearing?
Absolutely.
So you refuel, and then you're able to keep up with all of the pressures and demands of being the VP of Student Services Enrollment Management. Well, thank you for taking time to be with us today. We're just kind of having some really, really great discussion around emotional intelligence. And understand that you're looking at doing some things, or have done some things around emotional intelligence, where you are. So tell us a little bit about, maybe a little bit about the school itself, because, you know, often when people hear about a community college, they are looking at just a little small, 8 or 10,000 student population. But tell us a little bit about Hillsborough Community College.
Well, as you mentioned earlier, Hillsborough Community College is located in Tampa, Florida. We are the fifth largest community college, and actually in Florida we call it the Florida College System, since a lot of the schools have gone to offering four-year programs. And we're the fifth largest in the Florida College System. We have 48,000 students spread out over five campuses. And we are still growing, and we offer courses leading to the Associate of Arts degree. About 87% of our students transfer to University of South Florida. So if there's any bulls out there, we have students coming your way. We also offer vocational programs and Associate of Science, and those those are particularly things like nursing. Those are programs where people or students will spend approximately 2 years, 2 to 3 years in those programs, go right into the workforce.
Okay. Fantastic. So, you know, when we were talking about emotional intelligence, one of the things, and I don't know if you had a chance to see it, or was there was an article in the Wall Street Journal last week, May 1st, as a matter of fact, about business schools, that a lot of the business schools now are beginning to integrate emotional intelligence into their curriculum, or they're beginning to assess students prior to coming into the business school, or prior to coming into an MBA program. They're beginning to assess for their emotional intelligence. Let me just kind of read you a statement from that article. It says, measuring EQ, or emotional intelligence quotient, is the latest attempt by business schools to identify future stars. Since students typically start their job hunts almost as soon as they arrive on campus, the schools have little time to fix any faults. In other words, it sounds like they're saying the earlier they can identify where a student's emotional intelligence is, or areas where they may be lacking in emotional intelligence, the better. Because once they're there, they don't have a whole lot of time to help them develop their emotional intelligence. So that brings me to the community college. And I'm saying that's a good place to start, because now you're at, let's say, the early stages of a student's collegiate career, if you will. And so that's where you want to start, or it seems like it makes sense to start as soon as possible, so that it gives you more time to work on or develop the student's emotional intelligence. What's your thought?
Well, in higher education, at every level, there's a much higher sensitivity to higher accountability from the state and federal level. Student access, retention, and completion is a primary concern nationally. So IE is extremely important for student success as well as college success. You know, research supports the claims that personal factors, or what some folks call non-cognitive factors, are important to student achievement and college success. Proactive initiatives to identify and develop EI skills, you know, prevent non-productive behaviors that, you know, sometimes we see students come in with that conflict with their academic achievement and their career mobility.
Okay. Judge, what's your thought?
Absolutely, I agree. And one of the things that I had a conversation with my bailiff, because we get so many people in court, and it's funny, when they're facing jail time, the first thing they say is, well, I'm about to go to school, or I'm going to enroll in a community college, which is great. But at the same time, just as we just acknowledged, hopefully they're getting some training and development in emotional intelligence, because that's a factor as to how successful they'll be, not only getting through that program, but then taking it to the next level. So I totally agree with that. It's very important at that early stage, and even below, even at high school and below.
Yeah. One of the things I was going to do, because I had a couple of thoughts that I wanted to ask Dr. Ray, because you do a lot of work with students. So how do you see emotional intelligence adding value to a student's academic experience and degree, if you will?
Well, basically, regardless of how proficient a student is when they come into the institution, you know, it's important that they have the ability to use and express emotions in a good and healthy, productive way. You know, it's important for students to have a good value of self, you know, maintain healthy and productive relationships, you know, work well with others to produce positive results, and successfully manage daily demands and pressures of life and work, you know, family, wellness, faith, profession, as well as education. And I say profession because some of the, particularly with the community college, some of the students we have already working in a particular field, they're coming to the college to gain some credentials so they can be upwardly mobile.
Okay. Gwen, any thoughts?
Well, I was just wondering in terms of student motivation. You know, some students, you know, when they come, they're fully equipped, and then there's some that just don't seem to be motivated. They're in school, they're registered, they know what they're supposed to be doing, but they don't just seem to be motivated. So how has EI in your, you know, the way you're using it there, have you seen any difference with the students, or do you see it kind of helping the light bulb go off for some of those students who may not be as motivated to do what they're supposed to be doing?
Well, just this past Friday, we had our commencement exercise for the year. And one of the things that has always intrigued me is, and I don't see it as much now as I used to when I wasn't at the executive level, but students that I've met when they first come in to the college, and there are definite deficits in how they value themselves, their relationships with others, and so forth. And then to see them go across the stage and see the change. You know, many students, we have programs. One of the courses getting at motivation, we have a lot of students who come to the community college who are in need of, they're not necessarily what we call college ready. They need some additional help in math, reading, and writing. And we provide those courses for them. But in addition, we require that all the students take what we call a student life skills course. For those in higher ed, it's SLS 1501. And that course covers a lot of the EI issues and helps students prepare for time management, helps them look at themselves and see where there may be deficiencies outside of the academic area. And that course has been researched through the state of Florida and nationally, has shown a significant difference in retention rate for those students.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, that sounds excellent, and I could see that the results being that way. I just know I've dealt with students or and the resources for a program like that are not always in place, intact, and it's not anything necessarily is wrong with the student as opposed to the resources. You know, sometimes they just need coaching or pushing in the right direction. So I commend you all on that program.
Well, we try to help every student have an opportunity to get engaged with the college, whether the skills are taught in the classroom, because I just talked with someone from our Allied Health, actually who runs our Allied Health program, and a lot of the things that would be covered under EI, they're teaching as part of their curriculum. They actually to quote the person I talked to, she has never done a classroom observation where a faculty member wasn't relating the curriculum to something of how to cope and work with patients and so forth, how to manage some of the daily demands of their position, and how to support and help outside of the technical pieces of what they're doing, let's say in nursing or radiography, how to support that person and help them. They're also, we teach leadership skills through our student activities programs and student government. And the first part of the leadership skills is how do you lead yourself? One of the programs that, and you may be hinting at particular students at risk, and one of the programs that we have that's actually offered through our equity and diversity department is what we call Hope Scholars Program, and that program helps students. It targets minority males, African American, Latino males, and links them with a mentor or coach who's on the faculty to assist them with the daily grind of going through college. And one, it forms a network for those students. In addition, it helps them learn about things like time management and building particular EI skills that are going to help them not only graduate, from Hillsborough Community College, but it's also going to help them as they transfer to a university and then move on into their career.
Oh, that's fantastic. I like it. It sounds like you guys have quite a few programs, and while they're not called EI, they do get us into emotional and social learning, which is an area that often is said or perceived the same as emotional intelligence, because we're talking about emotional and social learning, which is what, you know, young adults need. Also, older adults often need social and emotional learning. But it is really, really good to see that you have a number of programs that are addressing or dealing with those kinds of things. I want to go back to the judge, if he's still with us, and just say and ask if you are aware of any kinds of programs, anything that's going on, in, let's say, in the East Cleveland area, where, you know, at the collegiate level anyway, that might be going on there.
You know, other than, you know, and I must say, I can't say other than because it's a great program. You know, we're right, our court is right down the street from Case Western Reserve, which has the School of Management there, the Weatherhead School of Management. And they have a program in emotional intelligence that's really, really wonderful. And that's where I really picked up a lot of my my learning and my education in the field of emotional intelligence. So other than that program at the university, there's nothing that's really, there are no organizations, there are no clubs. So when I heard about your organization, I thought, wow, what a wonderful opportunity to connect with those who are of the same like mind. But yeah, other than the university, there really isn't the big push, though I see the need. There's an extreme need for it in this area as well as every other area, especially when you take a look at it from the legal perspective. And, you know, I want to mention one other thing before we run out of time. I'm trying to get this message out of emotional intelligence in our court as well as the courts around Cleveland. And so what I've done, just so you'll know, and I think, Hank, I think you saw a little bit of the YouTube videos that I do, but if you go to YouTube and you type in Judge Dawson, I give these weekly kind of moments of motivation, but in reality, I'm trying to plant the seeds of emotional intelligence and trying to plant the seeds of how to stay out the legal system. Because I think if we can develop emotional intelligence in the community at large, I think not only will we just live a more successful life, but all of this running in and out of jail and in and out of courtrooms and not understanding how to interact with police officers and having that end tragically, we could kind of curb that, if not one day end it totally. That's kind of my big goal.
Oh, fantastic. Then, you know, how would someone find out more about that? I know you just mentioned YouTube, but is there, you know, a website or something like that that they could go to just to see what's there?
Yep. There, you can go to www.teamfinishfirst, and that's T-E-A-M and finish first. And also, if you can't get it that way, there's also a link on my personal website, which is www.judgedawson.com, and that's D-A-W-S-O-N. So there are a couple of ways to kind of connect with me and kind of support. And I'm always looking for partners and those who have such a great amount of knowledge and emotional intelligence, like everyone that's been on this show. So this has been a great opportunity for me to connect with you, and I really appreciate it.
Oh no, thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate you taking the time to call in. Now it's my turn to just kind of throw a couple of things. First of all, Dr. Ray, just excuse me for a second, but what I want to say to Judge Dawson is, one, Judge, I'd like to invite you to come back and be a special guest on our show, maybe sometimes in the months ahead. Two, it sounds like there's an opportunity to have a chapter of SOEI in the Cleveland area, so I will be reaching out to you and then seeing who might be some of the folks that I might contact in order to get a chapter of the Society of Emotional Intelligence going in the Cleveland area. So those are two things that are coming from me coming from this end. So I just want to say thanks for taking the time to be with us today. I really appreciate it. And think about what I just said about being a guest on the show in the future. And also I'll be reaching out to you to see if there's an opportunity to develop a chapter in the city of Cleveland.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Judge Dawson. Dr. Ray, what do you think about Judge Dawson and his comments? Does that go along with some of the things that you've probably seen here in the Tampa Bay area? Well, not only that, but since you've been at a number of community colleges here and in the, and I'm going to say the South Florida area, does some of the things that he kind of mentioned go along with what your thoughts or what you've kind of seen?
Absolutely. It looks like it sounds like Judge looking for partners. And
yes.
I know at Hillsborough Community College, we partner with the 100 Black Men of Tampa Bay to create the Collegiate 100, where our students actually go out and mentor students in K-12 and in turn receive mentoring from the 100 Black Men of Tampa Bay. And I think that has been quite a service to our students. We're talking about students. I forgot who made the comment about motivation. The students who are typically in this group may not have fit other places due to motivation, some other particular lack of certain requisite skills in EI, and they are actually benefiting and growing in EI because of their participation in that program. And I know Dr. Clemens, you have actually met with that group and had some workshops with that group that were very beneficial.
Yes, and I actually enjoy that, and looking forward to perhaps doing some more in that area. So this has been a really fast show today, and it just looks like we're running out of time. So, Dr. Ray, I'm going to have to extend an invitation to you also to be back with us, maybe for, you know, a future engagement to talk some more about some of the things that's going on there. But at this point, I'd like to thank you for being our guest on Let's Talk EI today. I think you've given us some really good points, some things for us to think about, and for others out there that are in the academic arena, some things to think about and look at also. So thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
And Dr. Gwen Wiggins, my co-host, I know that you have a number of things on your plate that you're working on and stuff like that, and thank you for sharing all of those things with us today. And good luck with the work that you're doing there in the Atlanta chapter. I'm going to be looking for some of that information so that we can post it on the website so that other people can see and be ready to show up when it's time for those professional development activities that you've been working on when they start to come out. So I'm looking forward to that. Any closing thoughts for us?
Been an exciting show. I appreciate everything that Dr. Ray has had to say, as well as Judge Dawson. So and your counterpart from Tampa as well, who called in from SOEI. Just been a great show. Very enlightening. Love the work that both of you all are doing in your arenas. So look forward to partnering and networking with everyone. So
fantastic. Thank you, Doctor. Dr. Wiggins, she's, I didn't mention this, but she's also doing some online university coursework. So she's also involved in working with students, be it online or in person. I think that emotional intelligence is one of those critical things that you have to have and have to put in. I'm Dr. Hank, and I'm sad to say, but I'm going to have to say goodbye to everyone now because we are at the end of the show. So stay with us, or at least come back next month. Have an EI day. And thanks for being with us.